ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب ولكن البر من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر والملائكة والكتاب والنبيين وآت المال على حبه ذوي القربى واليتامى والمساكين وابن السبيل والسائلين وفي الرقاب وأقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة والموفون بعهدهم إذا عاهدوا والصابرين في البأساء والضراء وحين البأس أولئك الذين صدقوا وأولئك هم المتقون صدق الله العظيم. The verse of the Quran which I've just recited Allah Jalla Majduhu have cleared a great misconception which people had at that time and also now as well people have. And that is the concept or the idea of righteousness, closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the pleasure of Allah Jalla Majduhu. In the previous religions which were divinely revealed by Allah Jalla Majduhu, and their name was also Islam, but due to the passing of time, and also the interference of shayateen from the jinnat and from the human beings, this concept of righteousness was confused. So Allah Jalla Jalaluhu mentioned and cleared it until the Day of Judgment. Every group amongst the human beings now, and also every religion, and most individuals, they have their own ideas and thoughts about how to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can they achieve the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and earn the glory and salvation of this world and hereafter. But because the being and the person who is to reward or accept any act, righteous act, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so He has mentioned Himself the wrong concept of righteousness and birr and taqwa, and then mention the correct concept to guide the humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. It is not righteousness to face towards the east or the west. The background of this verse of the Quran is that when the Muslims during the Meccan period were praying, although they lived in Makkah, but they faced as Qibla towards Jerusalem. And when Prophet ﷺ migrated to Medina some years, they also continued to pray towards Jerusalem, the Masjid al-Aqsa. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the Qibla of the Muslims towards the Kaaba, the house of Allah in Makkah. This was a new thing, that the Qibla was changed, because all the prophets amongst Bani Israel, their Qibla was Jerusalem. So the Jewish community in Medina, they were accusing the Muslims and Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that they are changing the religion of Allah, and all that time the Qibla has been Jerusalem and this has been changed. So there were arguments going on regarding which way one should pray. Although it is the first command to face the mosque in Jerusalem, Masjid al-Aqsa, was also of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was in fact actually a part of worship, an etiquette of worship. And the second command to face the Qibla in Makkah was also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it is an act of, part of the act of worship, as you know, whenever we pray, we face Qibla. And any ibadat and worship act is preferable, mustahab, to face Qibla while practicing it. But here, people were fighting and arguing. And many people do these things now as well. Putting the hands in prayer above the navel or below the navel or on the chest is an etiquette and sunnah of the prayer. But you still see people arguing and accusing each other of misguidance about saying Ameen loudly or quietly. The praying manner of the Salah and many other things. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here said ki laysal birra an tuwallu wujuhakum qibla al-mashriq wal-maghrib, that these rituals are not the total righteousness. The righteousness is not only in these rituals fighting each other. Maybe the blame or the upsetness and the misery one person has caused other brother in arguing is far more sinful than a person if he had placed his hands here or here. If the reward is different, it might be very little difference. But now, because of lack of knowledge, and this person is accusing other people's prayers are invalid, other people's fasts are invalid, and is creating an environment of argumentation and conflict, this is more harmful than that. So Allah Jalla Majdahu said in this, the second juz of Quran, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وَجْوَهُكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Muslims understand that righteousness is not to face east or west, toward the Qibla of Kaaba or toward the Jerusalem. These are means to attain righteousness. They on itself are not righteousness. So similarly, people, Muslims, alhamdulillah, and also non-Muslims previous to the advent of Islam through Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, were serving the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, were worshipping Allah Jalla Majduhu and also other idols as well in the Kaaba. Now people go for ziyarat, for Hajj and Umrah. They have strange idea in their mind. They think that somehow if they go to Makkah, the house of Allah, or to visit the mosque of the Prophet and the grave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that somehow magically, instantly, their inner self will be changed and they will become statues of piety and taqwa, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be pleased with them. So they do not take care of the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they are here, or the rights of people. But somehow they have this ritual concept that once we will go and circumambulate and circle the Kaaba and do other rituals, piety and righteousness and taqwa will come in us automatically. But they are very much disappointed when they go there. They do all these things, but they see no effect on their souls. They don't feel any spiritual uplifting, any closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or any more closeness to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then they are lost again. They look at each other, they come every day and pray. Because they had thought that to do certain rituals was the purpose of the worship, and we will achieve piety and righteousness. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Islam preaches both things, the physical and outward appearance of worship. Islam also emphasizes on that, but also on the spiritual part as well. Because to benefit from the blessings and rahmats descending on the Kaaba, or descending on the heart of the person when he is praying in the mosque or in Salah, you need something where those tajalliyat and mercies and rahmats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will descend. You need that place. And that place is your soul, your heart, your ruh. Wo jagah hai. And if a person, just to give an example, fills a glass with mud, smelling dirty mud, and he takes this glass to Makkah Sharif, and then want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pour Rahmat or Abe Zamzam in there. Because there is no place there now in the glass. So although the Abe Zamzam is there, is pure, but this will not make pure this person. He has gone with filth, inner self, while it was soiled with sin when he was here. So the most thing which will happen to this person is that some of his sins will be washed away, which will be the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the rights of people he have violated, they're still there. They cannot be forgiven by principle until he gives those rights back and asks forgiveness from those people. So during my journey, I seen 98% people in this situation. They are not prepared at all. So in actual fact, when they're coming back, they are worth having pity and mercy on them, that they wasted their money. They're coming back as they were here before. Whatever righteousness they have achieved, or any neki they have achieved, many people lose that very much in front of the Kaaba. I've seen that. Why? People who have not purified themselves from the evil habits of the tongue and the evil traits of the eyes, there he faces a situation where everyone is in a hurry. On every step there is discomfort, inconvenience, harm which is caused to you by other people. Women are encircling the Kaaba with you. They are praying with you. If this person is not trained to beforehand to control his eyes at looking at beautiful women, unfortunately, very sadly, this person will be doing the same thing in the Masjid al-Haram as well. Because he has not trained, he cannot, instantly these things cannot be controlled on the spot. One have to be trained before. So wahan aurte hain, mard hain, katthe tawaf kar rahe hain. So kuch ka to wahan hi zaya ho jata hai, that they, whatever they achieve little bit, they lose again. Especially people who go from here, because they are trained to do shopping here, they are so much fond that they have the half of the time which they spend there, they spend shopping. Although shopping is not disallowed or haram, but they don't allocate time for their ibadat. They don't have a program. And fundamentally they go with the wrong concept of ritualism. And Islam is against ritual, mere ritualism without soul and spirit. So that is why many people laugh or joke or are surprised that person have gone to Umrah and we see no change in it. Change will not come by just doing ziyarat of Kaaba Sharif. More valuable than the Kaaba and Masjid Nabvi is the Quran of Allah, is the Kalam of Allah. It is the word of Allah. It has more status than even the Kaaba. If a person cannot achieve righteousness through the teachings of Quran, which is in our home here, he should forget. The companion, that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked Rasulullah to migrate from Makkah, one of the wisdom is to clear this misconception in people's mind that only we can go close to Allah if we have Makkah or the house of Allah. All the companions migrated to Medina and they achieved great righteousness which no other human being can reach without having access to the Kaaba. For 8 years they did not see the Kaaba or do any Umrah because the Mushrikeen will not let them do. But they were at the highest state of walayat and friendship of Allah. And why? Because they were employing and implementing the reality of righteousness, and which is in the Quran and Sunnah. And for that, a person needs to be trained. So whoever will change here, he will benefit there. And whoever is not willing to change here, it's very unlikely that that person benefits here. Hardly some of his sins will be forgiven, but unfortunately, because of not being trained in taqwa and tazkiyah nafs and purification of the soul, they again, before coming back actually, their soul is in the same state as they were going before. But even because of not learning, people even suffer more loss even if they hadn't gone there. Because the sin, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, the sin, then the virtue of the haram is also multiplied by 100,000. Similarly, the sin in haram is also a grave act. It have more severe consequences. So a person might do one sin here, it might be equal to 100,000 sin if he does that in the haram. So the people take these things lightly and then they do not receive. This is the second kind of preparation, which is called, you can say, the spiritual kind of preparation which they do not do. Nor they do first kind of preparation, outward preparation, which is to becoming acquainted and having basic knowledge of the fiqh, of the basic masail of those ritual acts of Umrah or Hajj. It is very similar. If a person do not know the rule regulations of prayers and he enters a mosque and what will he see? He will see people are praying together in Qiyam, then they will go in Ruku, then they will go to Sajda, then they will sit in Tashahud, and then he also does same things. But if he doesn't know that one should have wudu, he's not going to see literally that they are not doing wudu in the mosque there. If he doesn't know, his clothes need to be pure. So he will do the same acts with other people. That's very similarly people do in Hajj and Umrah, these things as well. Whatever they see, they just follow them. Maybe they don't know the clothes need to be pure, the place needs to be pure, they should have ghusl, all these things. And those places, if they don't have knowledge, a person does not prepare beforehand, he cannot relate to those places. They might be of great significance, but because of not knowing, he would not know why that place is there. And then he can learn so many lessons from there. For example, I give you an example. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said many times that on the Day of Judgment, O Prophet, we will, me and Abu Bakr and Umar will be together. We will be raised together. Things like this. Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the third caliph and also the son-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you have mentioned this many times yourself and Hazrat Abu Bakr and Hazrat Umar, but where will I be on that day? Where will be my resting place? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was at his home in near Masjid Nabvi, where the Green Dome is now. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave a bow and an arrow to Hazrat Usman radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And Rasulullah said, in this direction, throw the arrow. Hazrat Usman threw the arrow and it fell about half a kilometer or so away. And Prophet ﷺ said that wherever the arrow fell, that is the place of your grave. And Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu wept and he said, if I knew, I would have chosen a place near you. Now, but Prophet ﷺ said, Usman, do not be sad, because the place between here and your grave, all those people who will be buried between here and your grave, they will be people of paradise. To ab unki kabar jo hai Hazrat Usman ki wahi hai, aakhri kinare pe, in the last part of Jannatul Baqi. And that is the reason why Jannatul Baqi is the graveyard of Baqi is called Jannatul Baqi, that it is paradise, you can say, graveyard. That is the reason that, because by Rasulullah said that between here and your grave, all graves which will come will be people of paradise. Uska matlab hai Jannatul Baqi. So if a person does not know, for example, backgrounds like this, he will not know why Jannatul Baqi is called Jannatul Baqi. Why Hazrat Usman's qabr or his grave is the further end of the Masjid al-Haram, the Jannat al-Baqi. Hajri Aswad ka nahi pata. People are fighting there to take one case of Hajri Aswad, but they don't know. Even when they kiss, they don't know if they are kissing Hajri Aswad or not. Because many people think the black stone which you see in photos or wherever that is in the corner of them, that is Hajri Aswad, which is not the truth really. Wo Hajri Aswad nahi hai. Hajri Aswad is the, there are about 6-7 pieces, small pieces, about big, this size. Because Hajri Aswad was broken at once, and it fell into pieces. So when those pieces, there was a misguided sect of Shia, they actually steal Hajri Aswad from the Kaaba Sharif and took somewhere in another country in their locality. And then there came a lot of different kinds of calamities and befell on them, and then they brought it back. But during that, it fell into pieces. So now it's in pieces, about 6-7 pieces. So now in the existing situation, what's done is that they've taken a stone like this, a back stone, and just actually engraved those 6-7 pieces in there. So one is here, one is here, one is here, like in a ring, diamonds are actually just placed there. Now to kiss the Hajri Aswad really is to kiss those small pieces, which are the pieces of Hajri Aswad, which are not really black, they are another color. Now once this, you find the situation that a person is pushing, hundreds and people and women are pushing each other, and when they kiss something else. Unko ye pata hi nahi, bahut se padhe likhe logon ko bhi, knowledgeable people, they don't know that all that black is not Hajri Aswad, it's only a small part Hajri Aswad, and that part is to be kissed, which is so small, here one piece, here one piece, here one piece, there it's placed in there. So agar is tarah ki detail, outward detail, a person does not know, even knowledgeable people do not know, so they will be doing double harm for themselves and other people. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, in the Kaaba, when he saw people jumping and one in each other, that, O Kaaba, you have a great status, but the pious Muslim of my Ummah has a more greater status than you even, O Kaaba. His hurmat is greater than you in the sight of Allah, a Muslim. Imagine. So those people who think they do not make themselves valuable through following Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah ﷺ, and they can become more valuable themselves than the Kaaba, and they think that there will be a magical process somehow when they'll go there, and it will transform them spiritually, like fitting a chip in them. Unfortunately, that does not happen very often there. So if they knew these people who are pushing, that this person I am pushing, he might be have a status greater than Kaaba, he will not be pushing just to kiss Hajri Aswad. Hajri Aswad have not got status same as Kaaba. It is, it has status, but it is one of the stones of jewels of paradise. Wo jannati patthar hai. Because when Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam built the Kaaba, it was not supposed to be put there just to kiss. There was a special purpose when he built the Kaaba, and he said to Hazrat Ismail, who was his son, son, now go and fetch me a stone so that I will put it on a place so that people will know where to begin tawaf from. That was the basic reason. Because he said all four corners are equal, but from this corner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us to begin the tawaf. But now go and bring a stone, just I will put it here as a sign so that people can always begin tawaf here and end there. So Hazrat Ismail alayhi salam went in the mountains and other places. But he saw, because he was a prophet of Allah, he saw Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam, and Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam gave him that stone, that jewel. And it was bright, and it was glowing, and it was radiant, and it illuminated all the surrounding mountains, and there was no need of light. It was like daylight when in the surrounding mountains, it was very, very far away. It was a jewel of paradise. So it stayed like there, and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam placed there. But the existing situation of the Hajri Aswad is, there's no light, nothing, and just people do kiss. Why is that? Everyone knows. That is because of people like myself and other people who go there, and they have committed sins. Since they've been touching with their hands and kissing with their lips, this Hajri Aswad, it began to turn, the radiance and the light actually began to fade away. The sin effects, although the Hajri Aswad has not committed any sin, but the sin effects. So that is why the Buzurgan Deen and Awliya Allah said that our soul and our ruh, our heart, spiritual heart, is also a thing of the Alame Amr, of the heaven. It is not created from the dust. From the dust, your body was created, but your ruh was not created, and your spiritual heart was not created from the dust. We said these are things that are also of Alame Amr, of the spiritual world. So imagine if this effect of the sin is such severe that a stone actually of paradise loses its radiance and light, what will be the status of our heart when we night and day we are sinning? Us dil ka, my ruh ka kya hal hoga? And although there is no fault and no mistake of Hajri Aswad, but still it got affected, and our hearts are worthy of blame because they contribute in the sin. So that is why Rasulullah said, which a hadith which I mentioned to you many times, inna la abda idha akhta khatiyata nukitat fi kalbihi nuktatun sawda. When a servant, when a person sins, a black spot appears in his heart. And if he repents, does tawbah, and does his islah, it's washed. If not, then Rasulullah said, hatta ta'alu qalbu until then it covers all the heart, and then a person will not see. So is tarah aur bhi kafi cheeze hain, but the main point which I want to communicate to you, don't live in world of ideas, neither in this worldly matters or in spiritual matters or in religious matters. Nothing will happen miraculously that you will become millionaire overnight, or physically, lawfully, or spiritually even. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set standards and rules, and the companion had to go through this. There is no place that you will go and you will, many people, we will go in Syria, this will happen, and we will go in other places, and this will happen. Nothing is going to happen until actually you change. And if you find those, that's cure for the ailments and disease of the heart, here, wherever you are, you will come achieve closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But in this verse which I have just recited, only the first part which I have commented on, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has negated and cleared the misconception, but in the next part, inshallah, another time we will discuss that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned fully what is righteousness and how you can achieve righteousness. And this is what. But I just said these few words so that, because many amongst you will also be thinking of going somewhere, or we pray every day in the hope of becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla majduhu. But then we find that one person, his sinful state is same, but he is praying. So he should think, what's wrong? There is something wrong with the prayer, or there is something wrong with me? The prayer is a prescription prescribed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like a doctor prescribes a drug or something, it is to be effective. So I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes something and it's not being effective, this means that there is something we are doing wrong, and we should sit with pious people, with ulama and salihin, and they learn these things, and then gradually inshallah, if our death approaches, we will be classed as successful. Because whoever struggles, and during his struggle he dies, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his mercy blesses him as he has reached his destination. Jis tarah jo log haj pe jaate hain, agar raste mein mar jaye, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that do not even give them kafan, bury them in the haram, because on day of judgment they will be raised as hujjaj, and they will be saying talbiyah with their tongues. So iska matlab unhone haj nahi kiya, lekin unka darja kitna bada mil gaya, maybe more than a haji. So because if the haji has done haj and he comes back and he again actually have done committed sins, maybe his the asar and the effect of his haj is lost. But this person who were not able to reach the Kaaba, but he had ihram, he had good intention to do haj, he is actually saved now. On the day of judgment he will be, when the Prophet ﷺ said that he will raised up and he will be saying labbaik allahumma, this means that there is a good indication of his khatima, that he died on iman and he died of with good intention. Isi tarah jo banda, if a person is doing effort, no matter he reaches his destination not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you have mercy on him and he is classed as successful. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says is that the only effort and struggle is required from you. I don't want that every one of you reach your destination. Once we do that, according to the weak abilities which everyone have, everyone has variance in that, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the best judge and the very merciful. Subhanallah. Kitne baje hai namaz ja?
50.
Acha. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha. अब आपने कोई बात पूछनी है तो पूछो. आई एम नॉट वेरी वेल टुडे, दैट्स व्हाई आई एम. तो अगर आपने कोई बात पूछनी है तो पूछ लें, इफ यू वांट टू आस्क एनीथिंग और हैव नॉट अंडरस्टूड. ठीक है, इंशाल्लाह फिर मगरब के बाद मिलते हैं.
آپ کی نماز کی تیاری کریں انشاءاللہ.
Prepare for the Maghrib prayer, wudu wagaira karein.
سبحانک اللہ وبحمدک.